You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. There are few things more traumatic in someone's life than being evicted. Princeton University's Eviction Lab has constructed the first nationwide database on evictions and tells us in Michigan more than 92 people are evicted every day. That rate is slightly above the national average. And across the country in 2017, over 2 million Americans were forced from their homes, and very few had lawyers to help them. Brian Gilmore is here now to talk about what this all means to our state, to our nation. He's the director of the Housing Law Clinic at Michigan State University. Brian, in your opinion piece that you wrote in the New York Times called Give Tenants Lawyers, you describe eviction as the civil equivalent of capital punishment. Why do you say that?
Yes, because an eviction really turns your life upside down. I call it civic death, where you lose your status in the community. I mean, you more than likely have been moved out of that community. Your kids might have to change schools. There's no stability to your life. And it becomes like a cycle effect. If you can't back to the way you were, you might be behind. You might have to live with relatives. You might have to live in a homeless shelter. It really can be a devastating, spiraling effect to your life. And a lot of people get caught up in it, and they have a difficult time ever getting out of it. So it's like you almost die in society, at least the local societies you are part of.
And then how does that kind of spread outward? What's the ripple effect that kind of touches everybody in a society when people are evicted?
You might have to depend on other people, so that has an impact on their resources. A lot of people here, what we see is they were ending up in the homeless system, and that puts pressure on the resources that Michigan has or the local governments have. It just kind of spirals from there. The money that people think we're saving doesn't really save money. And then the landlords, they will tell you that they lose a lot of money when somebody gets evicted. Most landlords are not hard-hearted. They want to keep the tenants in the properties, but, I mean, sometimes they just have to move on.
But to the point of your op-ed in the New York Times, this eviction inequity that you write about, what do we typically see in eviction proceedings in terms of who gets a lawyer and who doesn't? What do the numbers tell us?
I mean, it probably differs from state to state, but most of the time the landlords have an attorney and the tenants most of the time doesn't. And usually in most states, when I was in the District of Columbia, where I practiced for about 15 years, it was about 90% of landlords had an attorney and less than 10% of tenants. I think here in Michigan, they're probably similar numbers. Some numbers come up like in the 80s, landlords have attorneys. For tenants, it's usually not more than 10%. And that's across the board. Even individuals who have some means still cannot afford to pay somebody $200 an hour to represent them in an eviction action.
So walk us through, if you will, Brian, a typical process of eviction to help us understand how would a tenant having a lawyer change that?
What I tried to state in my op-ed was the tenants, lawyers, they know the law and they know the procedure. A lot of times in landlord-tenant courts across the country, and I've been able to practice in three different jurisdictions, the tenant just comes down and the tenant thinks that the landlord attorney is like their attorney or has their interests at heart. That person has to represent their client. They can't help the tenant out or anything like that. The tenant doesn't know that they even have a right to certain defenses that are available through the lease contract that they have or through the housing code. They don't know that they have a right to a jury, the right to make counterclaims and things like that. But, you know, on a very basic level, most of the cases aren't like that. The tenant doesn't know that if they had somebody speaking for them, that perhaps they could negotiate a little bit more time for them, or they could point out where some of the charges are not accurate and it might reduce the amount. These are the things that the tenant attorneys can point out. And now that we have an eviction diversion program in Michigan, and in other states are picking it up as well.
Yeah, I do want to get to that. Before we talk about that good work that's being done in Kalamazoo with the eviction diversion program, I want to go back to this question that we automatically offer lawyers to someone who's charged with a crime. Why don't we do that with tenants?
That's the question that we've been asking ourselves as I mean, those of us have been involved in this for many, many years, like, why can't tenants have lawyers when they go before the court? Because it has wide impact for that community. New York has instituted a program where they actually do have that. I mentioned that in the article, and other states are picking that up as well. It really is a question that we have to face. A lot of times, I know landlords say that that's will slow down the process and things like that. And it might be some truth to that, but there's some rapport between lawyers, between tenant lawyers, landlord lawyers, and a lot of times we talk and then we work out a deal that the person, that at least a lot of the tenants who are facing eviction can handle, as opposed to a deal where it's not going to work. You just gave them a deal where they're not going to be able to pay the money and they're going to get evicted. So we try to fashion deals where they can work. And then, as I said, there's a certain rapport in the lawyer community where they get to know each other, we have respect and things like that. And those things work to the benefit of everybody.
I'm speaking with Brian Gilmore, who's director of the Housing Law Clinic at Michigan State University. And in his op-ed for the New York Times, he calls for giving tenants lawyers, because it turns out when landlord-tenant courts are held, mainly landlords have attorneys and tenants do not. And Brian, you point to what the 8th District Court in Kalamazoo is doing with its eviction diversion program. Tell us about that. How does it work? What's different?
Right. So We have a program in Mason here that's very similar, and that program is modeled after their program. And generally what it really is if you would like an attorney on the landlord-tenant day, you can have one. And usually it's a legal services attorney, legal aid, or in our case, it's a legal service attorney or a student clinician who works in my clinic, because I'm part of the law school housing clinic. So if you want one, you can have one, and they would advise you of your rights, some of the rights that I mentioned earlier, and they would also examine your complaint, examine the ledger that the landlord presents to you, examine what you're being charged, and just take a closer look. The other key component of it, and most of the praise for the program goes to Human Services, because they're the ones that's kind of behind it, Human Services offers some bridge funds for tenants. So that maybe they're behind by a little bit. You can apply for funds, and if you're eligible, you will get a little bit of money, and that might help close the gap of what you owe. And then you pay the other amount, and then you can get on with your life and avoid a bad case of an eviction. And
staying in your house. Staying. Yes. That's the key, staying in your
right.
house.
And then the landlord can, if that's able to work, the landlord can keep a tenant. The system is not perfect, but it's definitely better than the system had before, where a person would just be evicted. They would go to the homeless system. The homeless shelters were swelling. So Human Services felt that that was a bad way to use funds.
And I know you write that the one in Kalamazoo began in 2011. And I'm interested, do the data support what it's doing? Has it been proven to be able to keep people in their homes?
Well, I would say that the data in several jurisdictions has shown that if you have an attorney, you're a tenant in court, there are less evictions, less judgments, less defaults. The outcomes are better. A program in Durham, North Carolina, and they came up and observed our program in Mason, Michigan, and they started a program in that city because of our program, and their data already shows that it's a much better outcomes in all across the board, less evictions, less judgments, less defaults. This has been shown in several jurisdictions now. Even in Lansing had a pilot program. Early results showed that their results are better if you have an attorney representing you in court. It just has a lot to do with the fact that it's a collaborative effort. Lawyers, Human Services, the court cooperating, and it gets a better outcome. That's why they call it the eviction diversion program, because it's looking for a better outcome for everybody.
Now, you mentioned you modeled your program in Mason after the one in Kalamazoo. Lansing has had a program. How widely is this program model from Kalamazoo spreading around Michigan?
Yes, there is a program in Detroit. There is a program in Livingston County. There is a program in Traverse City. Because of the op-ed, I just got a call from Nebraska. There is a program in the starting stages in Richmond, Virginia. So people are beginning to realize that it's probably in everybody's best interest for something like this.
The one thing that I guess we have to address is there's always dollars and cents. So where would the money come from to provide these lawyers to lower and middle income tenants who face eviction?
But I think every jurisdiction kind of makes that decision on their own. Some have money that they are that is being allocated. I know the programs like in Virginia, the state government wants to allocate some funds on some level. New York did the same. In Michigan, our clinic has agreed to cooperate and participate in the program on the day of the housing cases. We come every week if we are able to come to the court. Legal Services of South Central Michigan, who is a stellar program, they come every week. And they also staff the program in Livingston County. So there's really no, on our end, there's no funds or anything because this is like part of our mission. As for the money for human services, that's probably some question that they would have to answer because they're the ones who provide the rental assistance when people qualify for the program.
But I certainly hear you say that if you are someone who is facing eviction, get help, get legal help. Don't show up to court thinking that the lawyer that's there for the landlord is also going to be batting on your team.
Right. I mean, that's just against the whole idea of an attorney. They're there to represent their client's best interests. And sometimes in the past, a tenant would just walk in, they would go to a hearing, they would ask one question, and then that would be the end of the case. Instead of someone really going over their story with them or going over the documents with the other attorney, asking some really important questions. And then, you know, maybe negotiating, because a lot of what we do is negotiation, asking if we can get more time and things like that, and the person will be able to pay, we can make this work kind of approach.
Brian Gilmore, director of the Housing Law Clinic at Michigan State University, and his op-ed in the New York Times, Give Tenants Lawyers. Brian, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.